It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Sound Mind broadcast. This week, Daniel looking at this subject of marriage. And interesting title this week, Daniel, The Attack Against Marriage, Divide and Conquer. That's a classic battle strategy, and you think that that's going on with marriages, too.
Oh, I think that is probably, as I say here, I might repeat myself a bit, but if the if our old adversary wants to destroy a marriage, I think this is his first strategy, divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And you certainly, when I'm doing marriage counseling, the couple is certainly divided. And you know, the scripture verse, a house divided against itself can't stand, Jesus said. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing. This is why I came up with that divide and conquer, is that it's almost as though Christ is speaking right to the married couple, a house divided against itself. So, you know, we often hear about how marriages are attacked culturally from the outside. That's always a hot topic, and how marriage is under attack from changing, moral values and even the definition of marriage. But also, marriages don't simply fail if we look at it closely. And you know, couples, or maybe I'm speaking to people who have been through a divorce, and marriages don't simply fail because of attacks from the outside, but a lot of times, and equally, because of something that's lacking on the inside.
Probably more often, yeah.
Yeah, possibly. And as a matter of fact, a combination, because there will always be pressure from the outside and attacks from the outside, and it's what's on the inside that is going to be the defense against that. Most Christian divorces happen in the first 10 years, but
Christian marriage, that's different from secular marriage?
I think it's about the same.
About
40%.
Okay. Most people can get divorced in the first 10 years.
And a trend that's going down is if we look back to 1960, there are almost something like half as many marriages, a little more than half as many marriages as there were then, and almost twice as many divorces. So, you know, if you had, out of eight in 1960, out of eight marriages, you would get one divorce. Today, there would be, instead of eight marriages, five marriages, and you'd have two divorces. So divorce rate has doubled, and the rate of marriage has dropped by almost.
Well, so many people just live together.
Yeah.
Or always start off living together, and that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah. But So we have a lot of, 40% of the divorce and Christian marriages, I think it's the same with the world, but Christian marriages, 40% of the divorces, upwards of 40% of the divorces actually happen in the first 10 years. But then the troubling part, I mean, that's troubling enough, but 4% of divorces occur after the 40-year mark. And
now what's going on with that?
Yeah, so
the kids are out of the empty nesters. Kids are out of the house by then. And
well, again, it's something is lacking in here, and I hope to get to the root of it. But of course, in the early years of marriage, failure can be blamed on things like immaturity, some other things, but lack of connectivity, immaturity, those sorts of things. And you're looking at these cases where, you know, in the upper years, you know, after 30, after 40 years. I think it has to be more a result of like a slow distancing, or sometimes I've even seen some kind of a traumatic event, loss of a loved one or something like that.
And
death of a child. And sometimes, you know, there's different things that you have to consider. Older people maybe haven't been married as long. But I have friends, and I'm sure that the people listening, you are likely to know people in your church that seemed just rock solid, in their faith, and they surprised you, shocked you, disappointed you, saddened you, by announcing that they were divorcing. And, sometimes for what seems to be no significant reason.
Well, you said you ran into this. Somebody just had a blowout argument, and that's
just an argument. And that on the surface, it seemed like that's all it was. And a highly functioning Christian marriage. I cannot forget one of the most disappointing things that I read years ago when I was kind of just getting into counseling and doing some writing on the history of marriage. Reading, I think it was Charisma magazine, where there was a renowned counselor and seminar leader who credited himself with saving something like 11,000 marriages and divorcing a beautiful wife of 50 years for irreconcilable differences. And so there seems to be a point. So we've either known people or we've had friends or there seems to be a point which people come to beyond that point, they just will no longer reconcile. It's almost as if they're exhausted by the relationship. And I'm not certain what all determines that point. There are probably lots of variables, but if you've heard the story or had friends that have gone through this, or if you've gone through it, you know what I'm talking about. They're just, you get to a point where there's just nothing left. There's no feeling inside. There's, and of course, friends are looking at it from the outside, and they're wishing they could reach into your head and flip a switch, or you're wishing you could reach into those, that couple that you know well, and flip a switch and start over. But they just don't seem to be able to get there. And instead of that, they often experience a sudden indifference toward one another and even a resentment. And this can happen, again, after decades of marriage and having raised children and been functional in ministry. And so I'm looking at one of the common elements is this case, in cases of divorce, is this divide and conquer. And as I said before, and not to find a demon behind every bush, but we do have an adversary. He does want to destroy marriage because marriage has so much to do with the health of the body of Christ. And this is a common strategy, divide and conquer. So we see couples divided early in their marriage and then somehow later in their marriage after decades of living together. So maybe we could look at maybe two groups that divorce. You can divide them a number of different ways, but just for the sake of this broadcast, we'll divide them. Those with external pressure, because a lot of times, again, marriages appear to fail from external pressures, and those that kind of seem to fall apart because of inner decay. That's couples that have been together a long time, and there doesn't seem to be any, you know, you might know couples that are doing well financially. They've got all their bills paid off. They're retiring. They've got, you know, timeshares and stocks.
They're and miserable as everybody else.
And they just decay from the inside there. So looking at first is, how do external pressures divide and conquer? Well, so I just throw a few things on the table here. Any of these could be a show, a program in and of themselves, or a book. There's always family of origin baggage. So we're talking in this term, in this case, we're talking probably the younger married couples, married anywhere from 10 to maybe up to 20, even 25 years.
So you would you classify that as external and not internal?
External. I would classify that. Well, you raise a good point, because we process everything internally, even the external. But I'm looking at that as things that happened to me
before I was
okay. married.
All right.
And so there's always, you know, we bring problems in from our family of origin, ways of parenting, ways of responding, ways of either showing love or not showing love, ways of communicating or not communicating. So when I say internal, external, I'm not talking about internal or external to the marriage, but internal within the person. in a sense, too. But there's overlap here. The other thing is this, the whole idea of distances, psychological and emotional distances, and that brings up the idea of personality. I might want to reference here again another article, Personality Disorders, the Myth. To understand personalities, that article is at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. It's in the archive. Name of it is Personality Disorder, the Myth. personalities are defense mechanisms, and conflicts within marriage are personality conflicts. And so another one would be, you know, just ignorance concerning the purpose and the process of marriage, and often the purpose and the process of life in general. So immaturity, mm-hmm. ignorance. Immaturity, I would lump under that umbrella selfishness, materialistic, entitled. You know, I see that a lot of times in younger couples yeah. that are married.
Mm-hmm.
They're more so in
current society, too, this
yes.
entitlement mentality.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have the cultural community accountability that we used to have. And so, selfishness, materialistic, getting caught up in debt, that's what I consider external, you know. Entitlement, one couple that I was counseling many years ago, he and his wife couldn't get along because his idea was that she would not embrace his vision, as he put it. And
right. He wanted to get a submarine.
He wanted a jet and a submarine. And now people think I'm joking about that. I'm being absolutely honest. Wanted a private jet, a
and
submarine.
The wife wasn't having it.
Now, she was having a
you
baby.
Know, for me, you know, one of the things for me is I really would like to get a pot-bellied pig. You know, a little miniature pig mm-hmm. as a pet, mm-hmm. and she will not have mm-hmm. that. And we've had some real kind of, I mean, I don't think I was really that serious about it, but I was trying to kind of goad her a little bit. But I
did
think
you take
kind of,
some long walks.
But she just was not, and she, you know, she gave me a picture of a pig in a card and said, "This is the closest you're getting to a pig." You know, so yeah. I don't know where that came from, but little things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
kind of immature.
You know, wedding vows are not just poetry. It almost seems as though they arrived at the wedding vows the long way around. If you look at them, for better or worse, and that reminds me of young couples or young married couples. And I'm saying 10 years up to 20, maybe 25 years, and maybe a bit more. I guess you're as young as you think, but comparing ourselves with others and then envying what other people have and then eventually blaming one another that we don't have those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the man who wanted the submarine and the jet, you know, it was his wife's fault.
Right.
Richer or poorer, financial pressure is one of the chief factors in early divorce.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then finally, sickness and in health. Health problems sometimes come as that traumatic you know, my wife and I first got married within months. She went in for one of what turned out to be many, many major surgeries. Mm. And it just kind of put us sideways financially. And a lot of times that people, they get disenchanted at that point. Well, that's what the vows are for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our first group. Those would be roughly how we're the things. Obviously, they're just ideas, and there are maybe hundreds more, but these are just basically the kind of the idea and the idea that divide and conquer, the things that divide early marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're divided, we're not going to stand.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the subject of the attacks against marriage today on the Sound Mind broadcast, Daniel does a lot of marital counseling, and if you need marital counseling, maybe you know somebody. People are just at an impasse. They can't get over it, can't get through it. Daniel would love to help. And how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find all these podcasts, approaching 4 years of podcasts, and offices in Kirtland and Edmond.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week, looking at the subject of the attack against marriage and a real common strategy, divide and conquer. If you can get people divided, you can conquer them, and that's certainly what the enemy wants to do. But Life just does that, it seems like, particularly whereas we're launching into the second half of the show today. You kind of wanted to look how time divides and conquers
and the people that have been around the block a few times, and so we're approaching 30-40 years, and sometimes, as I said, you know, one case that disappointed me so much, a wonderful marriage from the outward appearance that had gone on for 50 years and then there was finally a divorce. But time divides and conquers. Now, that's as I came up with these things, it was kind of a conversation between my wife and I, looking back at our marriage and trying to think, well, what did we have, whether we realized it or not? What did we really have to work with? Because obviously, I feel our marriage is very healthy. We were right alongside other people who were married at the same time, and their marriage didn't survive. Our marriage has survived. It's a healthy marriage. It's a happy marriage. What did we have? It's kind of like asking the question, what do you do to be a perfect parent? And nobody has ever written the book about how you do that. Right. This is kind of the same with, so we're just looking back and saying, well, what did we have? Well, or what maybe was lacking in the other people, which is kind of the other side of the coin. First of all, possibly the loss of vision. I'm talking about Christian people here, loss of vision. And that has to do with our objective in life and how we're approaching it. Another one might be, and again, you know, you could take either any one of these and write a book on it. Loss of a sense of appreciation. This is a big one. Loss of a sense of appreciation for one another. Loss of appreciation of the mutual need and reliance that we have for one another. Loss of the appreciation of the giftings of the spouse. And some people never even think of focusing on that and contemplating that as a part of a regular part of the maintenance on the relationship. Loss of a sense of appreciation for God's presence and purpose through that other person. You know, you really have to believe that God is speaking to you through your spouse. And of course, this can't be one-sided. It can't always be the wife that's believing that God is speaking to her through her husband. It has to be equal. Husbands have to come to the place where they recognize that God talks to them through their wife and speaks wisdom through their wife. You know, we often quote that order, God first, family second, mission third, or, you know, I'd say God first, spouse, and then mission. But so often what happens without us looking is we sort of equate God and mission as the same without realizing it. And I've known couples that have done that. Their mission has become their relationship with God. And then what happens is the spouse comes after the mission, or the marriage comes after the mission, and then they fall apart. We've got to keep that personal relationship with God. Then that spouse is number two.
It happens a lot with pastors, people in ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah, overwork, doing everything for the congregation.
Right.
And
The ministry becomes the relationship with God, and then the spouse takes third place. Yeah. So love covers a multitude of foul-ups. That's a paraphrase.
Okay.
When we stop loving, we start seeing the faults in the other person. Small things become major irritations. And that's how time can divide. When we stop loving, and loving is something that's intentional and deliberate. So why is it so hard for some of these, for people to reconcile, as we were talking before, you can't just reach in and flip the switch. So I was thinking, is there a parallel? And I immediately thought about, well, people walk away from God and they return to God. But why can we return to God? And if you think about it, when I backslid away from God, and many people have been raised in Christian homes, and then they go through this period of disenchantment, disillusionment. Their immaturity catches up with them, and they become agnostic, sometimes even atheist for a while. But then they have to come back to God, and it's usually some realization or revelation. They come back a bit different path, but the reason that they can come back is that we recognize that God is holy. He is above reproach. He could never be wrong. We realize that God is just. we realize that God is unchanging, and that's not the same with other people.
Right.
You know, if I'm trying to come back to another person, I know that that person is culpable, fallible, and undeserving.
Right,
so that's very different than coming back to God after stepping away. So what's the solution? Well, the solution must be that somehow, if there's been this point in the point of no return and the point of, you know, we're at a point where I just don't think we can reconcile, somehow I have to trust God. I have to trust God through that, not through the other person, but trust that being in this relationship is God's will for me. So trusting that this relationship is God's purpose for me, God's will for me. Now I'm trusting God. I'm not trusting the other person. And by the way, once again, this really has to be equal on both sides. Although one person can start it out, and then you probably need some counseling to get both people on board. But we have to remember that life is by him, through him, and to him, even disappointments in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So after a lot of thought, I came up with some basic safeguards. And there are a lot of things that you could throw on the table here. I've identified these, as I say, just looking back, my wife and I, and saying, you know, what did we probably have? And so I think that, you could include a lot of other things, but if you have these five things, they'll lead to other things, and you're probably going to make it. So these five things, one would be each person has to have a sense of a precious destiny in God. Now, so this is not just a task that I think needs to be done. This is something personal between me and God, something that is important to God, and it's a precious destiny in God, and it's about relationship with God, but it's a destiny in God. And it may be vague. I think early in my marriage, it was vague, but I had a sense of a precious personal destiny in God through just being in fellowship with God. The second one is each person must recognize that the spouse also has a precious destiny in God. It's equal. It's got to be, you have to appreciate that that other person has their own precious destiny in God. Thirdly, the couple must have a sense that those lives merge in one purpose. Again, it can be vague, but there has to be the sense that other person and their destiny in God is the other part of me and mine.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be that sense of merging together. The fourth one is you must be the spouse's humble, happy servant.
Okay, I like that.
Humble, happy servant.
Humble and happy.
Day in and day out, I am a humble, happy servant.
It's here to
maybe
serve you.
Difficult for husbands to think of themselves as humble, happy servants, but that is prerequisite. And fifthly, community. Marriage takes place and survives in a community. I like to say to people, you know, your marriage doesn't just belong to you. It belongs to your children. It belongs to the body of Christ. It belongs to God. It's not just yours to do with as you please. You need to have your marriage in a church community context, and that's not just a place that you go for a sermon and song service. You need to feel accountable to people that you trust. You need to be in a place where if you walked in there and you weren't right with your wife, you'd be ashamed to look your fellow Christians in the eye because you're accountable to them. Mm. And so
this is something I think is lacking a lot of people's mm-hmm. lives.
Yeah, and in churches, people go to churches for the sermon and the
mm-hmm.
song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there could be other things here, but I think that these things are fundamental. And if you have those five things, you have a good chance.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to realize, though, in closing, that our whole life is an encounter with the purpose of God. Disappointments are not a departure from his purpose or blessing, but they're generally a necessary part of our coming to understand him.
Okay, how to maybe get back on track with the marriage this week. Always great information on the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. And he really likes to counsel marriages. I think that's definitely one of your main things that you like to help people with is marriage issues.
Sure comes up a lot.
It sure comes up a lot. So if people need help with marital issues or anything else, how do they get in touch with you?
Call me at 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. All of these radio shows are podcasted at the BibleBasedCounselor.com. People also can email me through that website. The offices are in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, always great information. Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.